Praise the Lord. Well, I am glad to step aside from my bride of 33 years in 2 days today. And our youngest daughter.
Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Do I have it? Ah, this is such a great body. I got tickled. Okay, I got to get my composure because I already had turned my mic on and I almost was like praying in tongues. And then I was thinking, oh no, my mic's on. It made me think of a couple of times where... One time we were watching home videos, you know, and I forgot that when you're videoing, you're also taping anything you say, you know. So one night we were watching home videos, and my voice was like, la, 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 la. So that night when I was praying for Taylor, he's so sweet, and he was like, Mom, real sweetly, can you please, when you pray for me tonight, can you please pray in tongues? Because I'm kind of tired of your voice. And another time, I do this when I get like, okay, I just start praying in tongues automatically. When we were watching the Olympics and some skier, it looked like they were about to wreck, so I started praying in tongues. And then Martha had her little phone. Ugh, this was in the time of phones. And she recorded me going, I'm praying in tongues and all that. And then she did this little remix. And so it was me, like waka waka, praying in tongues and all that. And she sent it to the rest of the family. Everybody got a real big kick out of that one too. But anyway, a little bit of our family crazy to break the ice. I want to say happy Mother's Day to everybody. This is just an incredible group of moms. I just am always so blessed when I get to know people in this body even better, because everybody has such the greatest stories. And I realize as I get up here on Mother's Day, I love Mother's Day. You know, it makes me think of so many fun things with my kids. I'm just so grateful for my mom. But I know, last year one of my young mom friends in San Antonio posted that this Mother's Day was, it was just, she had so many ambivalent feelings because she was kind of estranged from her mom. She was a great mom, but her mom was a real strict mom and wasn't approving of the choices she was making, how she was schooling her kids, and she was doing a great job. And it just made me think, you know, Mother's Day means so many different things to so many people. It invokes so many different feelings. I know some of you have maybe just lost your mother. I know some of you maybe have lost a child at a different time in your life or even recently. I know some, you know, so it invokes a sadness or something, and you're missing your mom or you're missing your child. And I know that some people are estranged from their mothers. I know different people have different upbringings and all that. And so I want to acknowledge that right now. But I also want to say that... regardless, David and I are so blessed, and we both had these great moms, but that childhood that they had, my mom, her mom, her dad was left them when she was real young, left her and her mom and their siblings, and he left and was in prison, in and out of prison. Mom was, her mom told her at one point, like, I tried to give y'all away, because I just was overwhelmed and I couldn't handle it. And this Baptist pastor talked her out of giving him away. And so they went to live with an aunt and uncle that we call Nanny and Charlie. And so they got this time in their life where they were raised by an aunt and uncle. But mom did not bring, and she experienced some different things that I never did, because mom decided at some point in her life that this childhood that I had is not the childhood that my kids are going to have. And she drew a line in the sand, and she said no. And she grabbed onto the Lord with everything that was in her. And so she did it. She said no. She let the past be the past. She didn't bring rejection or resentment or any kind of anger. She didn't even talk about that stuff until we were older. But I'm just so grateful to my mom for that. David's mom is such a good mom and grandma and so generous and loving and all that. But her mom tried to abort her. And we just learned that a few years ago. And then when her mom would get angry, she would say things like, I wish you'd never been born, and all that, you know. And those words go deep into the heart of a child. But she didn't extend that to David. She provided David and his sister a totally different childhood that she was afforded. And so I want to say to everybody out there, you know, we all have different experiences, and the word mother invokes so many different feelings in different ones of us. But if we had a hard childhood or for something like that, you can draw a line. And with the help of the Lord, you can say, you know what, that stops there, and we're going here. And God can help you provide a beautiful childhood for your own children. Anyway, amen. I have invited Faith, our youngest. She's 22, and she's kind of like the poet. She's extremely poetic, and she wrote a beautiful poem recently. And I've asked her to come share it, and then I'm going to try to share some things off of it that the Lord put on my heart.
I once picked for my mother a bouquet of wildflowers, purple and green and blooming, and she set it primly on the windowsill in a vase and watered, thanked me, her daughter, with all sincerity. In fact, I had plucked a handful of henbit weeds from her yard, in earnest, yes, but unaware they made her sneeze, and it was these she accepted so graciously. Mother love, to see the heart behind the action, to say come as you are and mean it, to celebrate meager gifts of thanks when mountains are owed, because sacrificial love can never be earned or repaid in full. And the deepest love is for the loved ones to grow into beings, pouring mother love out on all those around them, drawing always from the wellspring source. Mother love. Mother love in a bouquet of henbit weeds.
Isn't that beautiful? I thought that was so pretty because it just embodies. You know, when you become a parent, you realize that God can love unconditionally, and that we can't earn God's love. Because when you have your kids, and no matter what they do, you're always going to love them. You know, they don't have to earn our acceptance. They don't have to earn our approval. But when we have kids, we really understand that depth of God's unconditional love. And I thought that was so beautifully portrayed in her poem. And we're just invited into this awesome, as moms, we're invited into this awesome, awesome thing to partner with him in the creation and the shaping of this little human being. We get to have the closest and most valuable for a time when we're carrying our kids' input into the heart and soul of this little child. And even in utero, babies are affected positively or negatively by what we eat or drink or say or feel or experience. And they receive vital nourishment according to how we nourish ourselves. And they receive spiritual nourishment according to how we nourish ourselves. Emotional and intellectual. Just whatever we feed ourselves, it's being passed on to our kids. In fact, we provide this amazing, just by our voice and what we think, what we feel, what we take in. We get to provide all of that into our children as they're growing and even into adulthood. In fact, there's been some recent studies in the last few years that show that a mother's voice has so much significance. It can even affect the heart rate of a person, even an adult. Just hearing your mother's voice can lower your heart rate, lower your blood pressure, bring you peace. The study recently says less than 1 second. That's how long it takes children to recognize their mother's voice. And that voice lights a child's brain up like a Christmas tree. Parts of the brain related to emotion, reward processing, facial recognition, and social functioning are also amped up by hearing from mom. In short, a child's ability to communicate socially is in a large way affected by how he or she reacts to mom's voice. Many of our social language and emotional processes are learned by listening to our mom's voice. And so they knew, they'd done studies in 2010 and shown that, you know, it affected, but just recently they've just shown just how much is, how much of our conversation and everything is just affects every part of a child's brain. And so in saying that, just I want to say, moms, remember, you're molding so many things in your child's life by what you say and how you say it. Fenelon, who was a philosopher and Christian in the 16th and 17th century, said, uphold a godly standard, but admit when you uphold it in an ungodly way. In other words, let's use our voices, let's use our tones, let's use every part of who we are to teach our kids and model for them just how much the Lord loves them. Let's use our voices for good. Let's praise our kids often. And I'm talking about young kids and adult kids. You know, when our kids get, even when they're young, but as they grow up, they don't always make the same choices that we would, but we need to Give them approval and love and just heap that on them. We need to practice kindness and gentleness in the way we talk to our kids. And we need to reject, when you're raising your kids, reject having rage or anger or releasing that on your kids. If you have trouble with that, get healing or go to the healing rooms or repent or leave the room. But don't rage at your kids. It causes damage internally. Humble yourself and apologize. You know, that's something I still do. You know, God will bring something to my mind and I'll call the kids. Hey, I'm sorry. You know what? I just thought about this and I'm really, can you forgive me about this? And when they were little, I would always have to say, you know what? I just asked you a question and I didn't listen to what you said. Could you say it again? Could you forgive me? You know, that's what they learn, humility from us. They learn that nobody's perfect, but we're all doing the best we can. So as moms, let's guard our voices and remember that we have a big impact on our kids by what we say. Amen. The scripture says that God knew you in your mother's womb and he named you and he called you from that moment on. In fact, I love this quote. It's in the book Vanity Fair. And it says, "Mother is the name of God in the lips and hearts of little children." And what that means, you know, it's not a narcissistic or sacrilegious way, but it's basically saying we get that awesome privilege of representing God to our children. And it's a small way that we represent God, and it's a huge way that we represent God, because we can represent him self-sacrificing ways and giving our all ways. We just get to represent all that God has for his children in this small but huge, I say, way. Back to Faith's poem, I want to delve a little deeper into some points of the verses. In the verse right here where it says to see, where it talks about mother love, is seeing the heart behind the action. You know, that's what it's all about. That's what God does with us. We call it in our family, we always say, give the benefit of the doubt. You know, sometimes people act out in ways and we don't know what they're experiencing or what they're going through. You know, I always say, you know, sometimes somebody will cut me off in traffic and I think, you know what, maybe they're rushing to the hospital. You know, like, have yourself ready to forgive and give the benefit of the doubt. And do it with your kids and do it often. There's so many times. I'm sorry, I'm going to want to stay with my notes so I don't go too long. We just need to expect, we look at our children and we need to expect good and see the good. I want to tell, okay, I have a few funny stories to tell. That talk about this, like sometimes we think we're teaching our kids something and then, you know, when they come out with it, and you're like, I have a funny story of when Martha was a little and she's our fourth born, very gregarious, and so we were all getting ready. We had a pool in our backyard. We were all getting ready to get into the pool. And Martha was running around the house. She had her little white swimsuit over her shoulder. She was running around the house naked. David was like, "Martha, what are you doing?" And she's like, "I'm looking for my swimsuit." And he's like, "What's wrong with the one on your shoulder?" And she's like, "It's not modest." So I was like, oh, okay. Need to revisit that teaching on modesty, I think, you know. Missed the point, you know, but her heart was good, you know, she wanted to be modest in that swimsuit she found out was kind of see-through, so, yeah, isn't that funny? Another funny thing was Josiah was, he was four, he just turned four, and it was Father's Day at our church in Fort Worth. The pastor called all the men, come forward and pray, you know, get on your knees and pray for your families and all this kind of stuff. And so Josiah looked at me, he's like, "I need to go up there." And I was like, no, you stay here and pray. Everybody was up there. And he kept looking at me like, no, Mom, I need to go up there and pray. So I was like, okay. And he goes up there and he gets next to one of the elders at the church at the time. His name was Mr. Swallow. He was such an amazing man. And I see Josiah whispering to him, you know, all this. And then he kept turning around and looking at me. And then his eyes got real big. And then he's like, and I think he's playing. And I'm like, "Get back here." And I'm doing this, trying to be inconspicuous. get back here. And he's like, and he's looking, and he then he's praying, and then he's looking, and then he runs back, and he goes, Mom, did you see it? Did you see it? And I was like, what, Josiah? He's like, I was praying for you. Did you see it? Did you see that angel come around? I thought it was going to go to Mrs. Lockhart, but it went into your heart. And I was like, no. And he said, and I know who that was that came in on the white horse. I know who that was. I know who that was. And I saw all the angels. And he was describing these colors, like bluish red and purple. I mean, all these amazing colors that at the time I didn't know. But now you read all these books about heaven and different things like that, and there's all this kind of stuff, and it was just such a beautiful experience. And he said, oh, Jesus loves me so much, Mom, and I was praying for you, and Jesus loves you so much, and praying for, he told everybody in our family, you know, Jesus loves them, and he was so excited. And then Bill Swallow came up to me a little bit later, and I was like, what did Josiah say to you? This is so embarrassing. He said, can you pray for my mom? Sometimes she does bad things. If nothing else, parenthood is so humbling, right? So I was asking Josiah on the way over across town to my mom's, like, honey, you know, real sweet, what did you say to Mr. Swallow? And what happened was that there was somebody in our extended family that was really, really struggling, and I had been trying to talk to them about the Lord and all this kind of stuff. But you know how sometimes you can say a thing and it pushes something, and sometimes you say it and it pulls them in. And I had tried to share something, and then I was frustrated with myself. So in the car, I had said, Josiah, can you pray for Mommy? I was just frustrated. Sometimes I say the wrong thing. So when I said, now what bad things were you talking about? He goes, Mom, you told me to pray for you. You told me that sometimes you do. I was like, oh, phew. But it was so funny, too, because I have to be honest, God did not allow me to go back to Bill Swallow and explain myself. He was just like, you know what? Eat it, you know, because sometimes it's like, okay. Another funny story that I love, I hope this is okay to the Meadows. I'm going to share that cute story about, I was having dinner in the Meadow with the, at the same table with the Meadows the other night. And they told a funny story about one of their kids who's really, really outgoing. And Ginger said, is this okay? Where are you? Is it okay? I love this story. This is a good, you know, you love your kids' stories, but when you hear other people's funny stories, it's even great too. So they have this one kid that's very, very outgoing. And so Ginger said that at one point she noticed, like, he's not, where'd he go? Where'd he go? She couldn't find him. And so she said, you know, they were looking outside and all that about this. That time, Chad calls from the office and he said, are you missing someone? And he lived and he worked about a half a mile away. And she said it was across a field where there were snakes and all this kind of stuff. Well, the day before, he had visited the office and somebody in the office had given him candy. So he made his way across this field. He got there, you know. They went and got him, and they, you know, they were thinking, oh, my goodness. So they talked to him and said, you know, you can't just leave the house and go somewhere. You have to ask somebody. You have to. And he said, oh, I did. And they said, who'd you ask? And he said, I asked myself if I could. And I said, yes, I can, and I did. Now, he wasn't being disobedient. You know, as parents, we're always telling our kids, you can do it. You can do this. Come on, you can do it. So he told himself he could, and he did. So then they made that adjustment, like, okay, you have to ask somebody, may I do this thing? You know, so as parents, it's like sometimes your kid does something, and you're thinking, okay, they totally misunderstood what I said, or I might be totally misunderstood, but I'm looking, and I'm looking past what this action is, and I'm looking for the good. Just like when our kids bring us our little bouquets of weeds, and we know that that is just like a beautiful bouquet of roses from them, and so we receive it that way, and you don't even tell them till they're adults that you're allergic to that thing. Isn't that funny? So, moms, I just want to say, you know, our kids are so profound, and they see so much in the Lord and all this, and they have limited vocabularies, but listen and look into their eyes and put our phones down and read books and play games and be the love of Christ to this little child or this big one. Because, some, you know, as moms, sometimes we get it right And sometimes we get it wrong. But just like those words Faith wrote, God looks at us as moms. And he sees the heart behind our actions. And there's always grace. And there's always redemption. Now I'm going to have Faith come and read another beautiful poem.
What will you make of yourself in this world, child? Something I hope for your sake. For this world tips dismal and bitter with a wind whiff, and we're helpless, we'll all stumble but for grace. Grace, it tears our pride down mightily and rightfully, and when our guard's down, oof, it hurts so good to be seen in all our mess and still embraced with sincerity and clarity by a God who wants to meet us face to face. Face him and glory be, those eyes are honest, the strongest and most gentle all at once. He says I'm loved, cared for, set free. If I'll just drink from this living source, I'll see and know that he is good. And my liberty comes from surrender, not what I make of myself, but what I let him make of me.
Isn't that beautiful? Yay. So meaningful. The second point of this poem that I really wanted to delve into is that as mothers, we get to say, come as you are, and mean it. As mothers, we don't choose what our kids look like, what they love, what they're interested in. We don't get to choose what sex they are. We don't get to choose their personality bent or their temperament. In the best of worlds, we take this precious blend of humanity, and to the extent that we love and affirm and nurture them in our homes, the child has a sense of security about their life, and they can discover their own need for Christ and their own need for a deep relationship with the Lord. Home should be the place that your child is safe and loved and accepted on their best days and on their worst days, and especially on their worst days. You know, because sometimes the world isn't nice, and sometimes the world can ostracize and all that, but home should be that place where they feel safe and loved and accepted no matter what. And when we do that, we keep them from having emotional wounds caused by our physical or our emotional absence. Or the emotional wounds can also be caused by parenting methods that are inadequate or overbearing or abusive. But I want to say that, you know, all is not lost. All is not lost. People who lack a sense of being or belonging sometimes have it from a deep mother wound. But as moms, we can say to our kids, come as you are, come as you are. And I want to say too, if you had a mother that didn't do this, didn't provide this emotional stability or something like this, then you get to press the up button. You get to go to a bigger place, because God says in Isaiah 49, he said, can a woman forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the son of her womb? And you know, when you read that scripture, you think the answer is no. Absolutely not. You think, that's the first thought that comes to my mind. Like, no, a woman cannot forget her nursing child and have no compassion on the child of her womb. But what God says is, you know what? Even some may forget, but I will not forget you. Behold, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. Now, inscribe, a lot of people want to say it means a bunch of different things and say, but inscribe means like poke holes. It means kind of tattoo. So God has us, you know, it was an old Jewish custom, and they would poke holes, they would put stain over it, and a lot of times it was like the walls of Jerusalem or something like that, because they wanted to keep it always before. And he did it on the palms of his hands, because that's the focus, right? Our hands are always before us. And it's not like our name is written on his hands for posterity's sake or anything like that. It's like our image is inscribed on the palms of God's hands. So if we have that thought, like my mom, maybe my mom did forsake me or something like that. It was like, well, you know what? God will never forsake you. So if you didn't have a mom like that, you've got a God like that. If you don't have a husband or a wife like that, you've got a God like that. Because he will never forsake us, and he will never, ever leave us alone. He always keeps us as the focus of his attention. And, when you go through hard, for me personally, sometimes I've gone through hard times. And the Lord, you know, if I'm really struggling or something like that, the verses the Lord always speaks to me is like, I see you. I know you. I have not forgotten you. I will never leave you. And I just think that's so important because we serve a God who sees and a God who knows. And all throughout Scripture, he refers to himself as the God who sees and the one who knows. So be very convinced of this, that your ways are always before him. And that's really, really good news. Another verse in this poem talks about mother celebrating meager gifts of thanks when mountains are owed, because sacrificial love can never be earned or paid in full. And you know, we know that our kids couldn't, we don't want our kids to try to pay us back, and God doesn't want us to do that either. He wants us just to love him with an unconditional love and just a grateful heart. And so that's, you know, as a mom, you look at your kids and you think that, and God says, that's the way I love you. You don't have to earn it. I remember when I left, when I went to college, and it was like, I realized, like, okay, do laundry, meals, all this stuff, and it was just, like, so clear to me, like, my mom's been doing all this stuff all these years, and you just take it for granted until you go and you're responsible for all of it. And I, the meager gift of thanks, I just like had to sit down and I wrote her a thank you note. And I was like, Mom, thank you for everything you've done all my life that I kind of took for granted. But that's, it's, it just opens up when you think about your relationship with your mom or your relationship with your kids. It opens up so much of how, you know, it was a meager gift of thanks, but it meant so much to mom. And just realizing and being grateful is so important for our hearts. I also love this part where it says, the deepest hope for a mom is for loved ones to grow into beings, pouring mother love out on everyone around them. You know, that's what we all pray for our kids, that they'll grow into adults that will pour out mother love, but God's love on all of those around them, drawing always from the wellspring source. And the wellspring source, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Godhead. So as moms, I just want to encourage everybody, so many great moms in this body and doing such a great job. And so I just want to close in with Faith coming and reading another poem, and then I'm going to have Faith read another poem, and then I'm going to close.
So this one's a little different than the other two. Sometimes I write poems, and sometimes I just, God starts speaking to me, and I just have write it down. And so if you will just close your eyes and just receive this as God speaking to you directly into your heart. I meet you in the eyes, child, and I am not ashamed of you. You cannot and need not strive to earn my love. My love is a gift, a blessing, and I give freely, so believe me when I say I love you. I meet you in the eyes, child, and you are known by me. My spirit inside you is resurrection life, working through the threads of your being, trading fear for faith, so believe me when I say I love you. I meet you in the eyes, child, and my grace is sufficient for you. So you may move in my joy and power. My word says I am with you, so believe me when I say I love you.
Amen. Amen. Now I'd just like to have everybody stand up. I've asked a bunch of moms to come stand up here in the front and pour out mother love. I think sometimes when we approach Mother's Day, so y'all come on forward, all the moms that I've talked to. Sometimes when we get to Mother's Day, we realize we might have a wound deep in our heart, and we need to, and, you know, physical affection, a physical hug can be so healing sometimes. And sometimes expressing, like, please forgive me, and to someone in proxy, maybe your mom's not here, but maybe you have something in your heart and you want to say, Mom, please forgive me. Or you want to say, Mom, I forgive you. And these people are standing here. Or maybe you have something that you need prayer for or something like that. I mean, there's just so many things that are invoked by the word mother. And so God just put it on my heart to have these mothers up here ready to give a big hug express love to you and express forgiveness or receive forgiveness. So David's going to say the blessing and then come forward if you need prayer.
For over a month now, we've been praying into this moment in this service. So I know it's Mother's Day. I know it's after 12 o'clock. But listen, if you need a hug this morning, there's such life-changing power. So many times in a hug without even a word being spoken. Or maybe there's something you need to say in proxy or get received. And so I encourage you not to miss this moment. But these ladies are ready, armed and ready with lots of hugs and lots of love. And we want mother love poured out in this place this morning. Let me speak the blessing over us and then come and get it.